Cheering at pro wrestling shows in Japan is back, and 2023 is already shaping up to be a big year in the history of pro res. That's why you should listen to the Emerald Flow Show. From the Royal Road to the Green Mat, Paul and Gerard take you into the world of All Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling NOAH. Not only do we analyze events, but we examine business, who is getting over, what angles are working or not. Occasionally, we take a look at other Japanese promotions like DDT and Zero One. So if you're looking for more coverage of the world of Japanese wrestling, check out the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps.
It is Flagship Plus, your supplemental flagship for Father's Day, June 16th, 2024. I am Joe, and if you thought a three-hour flagship this week plus a one-hour overrun was all the flagship you were going to get, you were wrong. As we have a lot to cover here on this weekend edition of Flagship Plus, we will briefly recap the Clash at the Castle show. This will not be a full review. I'll be back with Rich Kraich on this coming week's flagship podcast at your normally scheduled time at 7:30 this Thursday to do the full and comprehensive review of Clash at the Castle, but I will have a quick recap and some pithy thoughts on WWE's latest pay-per-view offering that took place, I guess now it's yesterday, since I'm recording this in the wee hours of Sunday. Then we've got some notes on Ricochet, which I don't think have been previously reported or discussed elsewhere. So maybe a little exclusive on the future of Ricochet coming up after that. We'll also go over Rampage and Collision. This weekend's Rampage and Collision shows, I'll review those for you. And because the New Japan Soul show is happening right now, and they're expected to make some G1 announcements during that show, if those announcements are made while I am recording this episode of Flagship Plus, you will get some live instant reaction of those G1 announcements if they are made while I am recording this show. And I think they will be. We're about an hour or so into that show. And I think before I wrap up here, they should be making the G1 announcements, but we'll see. If not, obviously we will cover that at some point, either on the flagship this week or if there's some content before this week's flagship. Obviously, anything G1 is going to be news that we are going to be all over. But we'll start here with the Clash at the Castle Scotland from the Hydro in Glasgow, Scotland. Another Paul Levesque era, underwhelming, mediocre, middling pay-per-view event. That's basically the concise way I can describe it for you. 5-match show. Don't want to fill too many buckets. Wouldn't want to do that. In fact, they didn't even bring over Chad Gable's entire stable. They did a little storyline gimmick at the beginning of the show. May have been during the 2-hour pre-show that Akira Tozawa wasn't even there. Just bring it over exactly who's needed for this 5-match pay-per-view. It's incredible that Levesque just shortchanges his audience every month with these pay-per-views, and they gleefully accept it. These WWE fans just, they don't have any standards. Sure, give us a 5-match show of mostly overbooked matches. We love it. We are piggies and we eat the slop. But yeah, another average, middling show. Look, I can't say that this was a bad show, but it definitely wasn't a good show. Just a middling, average show. Did I hate my life watching Clash at the Castle? No, I did not. Am I going to recommend that any of you who have not seen this show stop what you're doing, slap pause on this audio, and go enjoy yourself some WWE action from Scotland? No, I can't do that either. basically, if you're into WWE right now, and a lot of people are, you'll probably enjoy this show. I don't think you'll think it's great or anything like that. There's a, you know, I was going to say there was no great matches on the show. Look, I could see someone thinking Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles was a great match. I could. The problem I had with Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles is it was an I Quit match, and all of the annoying tropes that come along with a WWE I Quit match were present, which limits my ability to enjoy the match. Did Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles work their ass off in this match? Absolutely. Did Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles tell a cohesive story within the body of the match? Yeah, no doubt about it. But were there things and facets of this match that annoyed me that prevented me from thinking this was a great match? Yes, there was. And it was all of the things that normally annoy me about WWE I Quit matches. And I am sure that Rich Kraich, when I give him the floor on Thursday, is going to just wash you over with all the instances of the... Because look, it's the WWE subtlety hammer when it comes to these I Quit matches. It's the same as their Last Man Standing matches, where you're guaranteed within the first 2 or 3 minutes of a WWE Last Man Standing match to someone for, you know, someone to take a body slam, and then the referee, one, two, and it's just, they just, nothing can be subtle. They got to hammer you over the head with it. The commentary has to remind you of the rules 19 times. And it's the same thing with the I Quit matches. You know, very quickly into the match, you know, there'll be some reverse chin lock or something, and the referee is asking the guy in the hole, oh, do you want to quit? Do you want to give it up, AJ? And it's just, come on. So, you know, there were facets of the match from that standpoint that were annoying. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't know if this feud necessitated the stipulation. You know, when I think of I Quit matches historically, whether it's Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard, whether it's Ric Flair and Terry Funk, I guess those are the first two that come to mind instantly, right? Those were blood feuds. Those were, you know, you believed that those men would have killed each other. Those feuds necessitated the violent blow-off that is a classic I Quit match. Whereas, I know that Cody and AJ, have a history since Cody has won the title. His first defense was at Backlash France in Europe against AJ Styles. And then, you know, they did the deal where AJ faked the retirement on SmackDown, and Cody fell for it, and AJ attacked him. And yeah, I didn't even mind that storyline because, you know, people say, oh, Cody looks stupid. But Cody is such a massive babyface that sometimes in earnest, massive babyfaces are trusting and fall for shit like that. And that's just pro wrestling. So that set up this match here in Scotland. And it's funny, you know, Cody has had 3 defenses and none of them have been in the United States yet, which is interesting. AJ in France, Logan Paul in Saudi Arabia, and now AJ again in Scotland. And they went the I Quit route here, and I just don't know, even though AJ has been Cody's, essentially his arch nemesis since he came out of WrestleMania with these 2 titles, these whatever they're calling it, you know, the WWE and Universal titles that he won from Roman Reigns. I just don't know that this feud necessitated this kind of blow off. You know, when it was a blow off, Solo Sikoa comes out and Gorillas of Destiny come out and they attack Cody, and then Kevin Owens and Randy Orton run them off. And so, you know, it looks like Cody's going to resume his program with the Bloodline next, along with his pals, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. So he appears to be done with AJ. And if you do an I Quit match, that typically is the blow off. I just, you know, was this a feud that needed an I Quit match? I don't know. And there was blood here. You know, they kept stopping the blood, and it wasn't like these guys were wearing crimson masks, but they, you know, there was blood, and there was chains, and he handcuffed AJ to the ropes, threatened to crush him with the ring steps, and AJ, to avoid that fate, quit. And then Cody hit him with the stairs anyway. So, now that wasn't a very babyface move out of Cody. But yeah, these guys worked hard, and it was a good match. It's just, you know, the WWE-style I Quit match has a lot of barriers for me. But it was easily one of the two best matches on this five-match show, along with the main event. Now, everything else in between, to me, was a pile of shit.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media. We talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.